You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, and it is all change because in the studio is Guy Barlow and Joe Sampson. And Guy has taken Dom's seat. Joe's moved around. He's moved to Guy's seat. It is all unfamiliar for me, but the Fulham squad, well, they have serious squad depth and they can rotate as and when they please. It may be international break. Certainly, that is where Dom's heading. But tonight, the traditions are in. We're going to be doing the three-word reviews, talking about the Birmingham game, looking at those next five games. Rob Wilson will also be joining us. What a delight that will be. So stay tuned for that one. We're going to be doing the listener questions and talking a little bit about January rumours already. A transfer special for you, and it is only in November. But it was a brilliant victory on the weekend. None of the team here thought they would get it. They did get it. Joe, you was the most positive. You went for a draw, didn't you?
I did say a draw, and I actually thought I was being a bit optimistic. So happy to be proved wrong.
Yeah, happy to be proved wrong on this case. Well, we're talking Birmingham. Before we get into that game, this week, the honour and the privilege falls to our very own Guy Barlow for the three-word reviews. Guy, it's going to be a corker because it's going to be better than Dom. It's going to be better than George Cooper, that's for sure.
Guy, still digging George out even though he's not here.
I know, that's the only time I can do it. Guy, please.
Well, I've taken these on Twitter then. Obviously, lots of Peaky Blinders references. The title of the Fulhamish podcast was in that vein as well. The Parker Blinders got a lot of love. Credit to Christie, which I like. We'll talk about him. Peaky blinding result. That was the...
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Marry me, Mitro.
Cyrus, again, I like that.
Cyrus did good. Cyrus the Redeemer. You know, a lot of those... and Sting in the Blues. I'll leave it at that one. I would have gone for thanks, Lee Camp.
I did make quite a few notes about Lee Camp because I know you're quite a fan. You made a joke about his wrists last week that are very much... I'm still dining out on if I'm honest, Guy. Joe, what would have been your three-word review?
I think it's just got to be two-word review, Poppadom wrists. I honestly don't think you can beat that, honestly.
I don't think you can either, if I'm fair. Let's talk about the game then. Obviously, there were... loads to talk about. Obviously, Lee Camp will dominate it for you, Guy. But 1-0 to Birmingham, coming off that defeat to Hull. Obviously, 1-0 defeat. Fulham defeating Birmingham 1-0. Tough place to go. You know, you wasn't confident of it, but you got that result, and you head into the international break pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, definitely. It was a terrible game of football to watch. So, you know, horrible conditions, wet and windy, and you know, that might explain Lee Camp's error. But I think we just got the job done, really. You know, Micho scoring his 12th goal of the season, doing the Ronaldo celebration in the corner, and then we just ground it out. I thought Rodak played well. Cyrus Christie played well when he came on. So, yeah, there was, as you said, we weren't positive at all going into the weekend. but got 3 points away from home, and Birmingham got a very good home record as well.
Yeah, it was a combination really, Joe, wasn't it? A combination of Fulham not in the greatest form at the minute, Birmingham doing well, but Scott Parker saying he wanted a reaction from his players. He said he wants a team that tries everything in their power to win. They did that on Saturday.
Yeah, he got exactly what he asked for, because it seemed like one of those games, as Guy was just saying, with the conditions and the fact that Birmingham have got good home form, we haven't been great lately. It seemed like everything was sort of going in their favour pre-match. Even the fans were all delayed getting in, because all the trains terminated at Northampton, which was useful. But yeah, I mean,
you and trains, Joe, it seems. Last week you had a problem, you was late.
Yeah, I mean, today I had to get an earlier train, didn't I? I mean, it's just...
That's commitment. That's what Scott Parker wants from his players. That's what we want on the Fulhamish pod. Doing everything in your power to get here, Joe.
I love Fulham, but I hate Southwest trains. That is just my is my motto.
I don't know if Cooper would have done that.
No, well, we'll never know. yeah, it was one of those games where I think it was like a gritty performance. I don't think we played incredibly well, but we defended well, and I think we deserved the win overall.
Mm. Sometimes there's a joy to be taken, though, Guy, when you don't play that well and you get the 3 points and you beat a side that are very good at home and you're not you're struggling for form yourselves. It makes it just the sweeter, doesn't it?
Definitely, and 1-0 away from home is up there with the best results in football, you know. It's one of my favourite results, actually, because you get a clean sheet and you, like, you know, you might stink it out.
That's why Kamara missed at the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it hit the post. Come on. That's so harsh.
It was a good save, actually, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, it was a good save, wasn't it? Lee Camp.
He tried to catch
brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. Harry got his wrist there to save that.
Get him in England squad, that's what I say. You know, international break right now.
All keepers make errors. They're all people, Guy.
Lee Camp makes more than most.
And I felt a bit sorry for him, because obviously watching the game, we spoke about it last week, and I felt like this is going to dominate the Fulham fan show, because ultimately the game's been won by Lee Camp error.
Well, yeah, but if we talk about our own goalkeeper, Rodak came back in after the suspension that he got away at Borough, and he made a very good save onto the bar in the second half. I feel like he's not that commanding, maybe. I don't know. It's so early on, but as Parker said on the website this week, you know, he's got bags of championship experience. Really, he played over 40 times last year, and played over 40 times in League One the year before. So it's not that he's inexperienced. It's just he's an inexperienced Fulham player, and it will take some getting used to, particularly some parts of the fan base who defend Bettinelli to the hilt. But yeah, he was definitely a positive, and I think with that clean sheet, he's definitely nailed down the number one now.
Yeah, you said 1-0 is your favourite scoreline. You know, you've scored 3 points, clean sheets. Maybe we said last week, you know, the international break is needed. It hasn't been great. Still great that it's come now, can work on a few things. So nice, though, Joe, to go into that international break. You know, that form's been put to bed. It's in the rearview mirror. You know, we can build off the back of this win, can't we?
Yeah, and also I think it's quite important that, it sounds weird me saying this, but I think if we'd have gone out and beat Birmingham 4 or 5-0, that might have actually been quite negative going into the national break, purely because it would maybe put us in a false sense of security. I think it's really clear there are loads of things we still have to work on, but the fact that we've got the win and now we have that 2-week period where we can prepare for the QPR game, I think that's actually a good thing.
Definitely. Another positive impact of the game was Cyrus Christie. Obviously, Le Marchand getting injured is not great.
Because he's come in for a bit of criticism, hasn't he, Christie?
Sorry, 100%. Yeah. I think this is his first game since Barnsley away, on the very first game of the season. So that's way back in August. You know, it's a long time ago. And obviously, there was a very unfortunate incident that happened at that game. But I think it's probably been good for him to have a time out the sides. And, you know, there is that thing where players who are out the side seem better. you know, maybe you forget you're seeing them every week. We have that with Cabano a lot at Fulham. But I felt like he really took his chance, you know. He genuinely changed the game. And a lot of people have said this. He is our most genuinely attacking fullback, even more so than Joe Bryan. He's got such an engine. He bombs up and down all the time. It's a shame that his end product is not great, but that's what we want in our Fulham team. You know, we need energetic attacking fullbacks, and if he's our best attacking fullback, then there is definitely a case for him to be playing. And like I said, he really did change the game, and I won't be the only one. I'm really happy for him. You know,
yeah.
I was one of his critics. You know, we all were. He was playing terribly. He was.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he came back in and played well.
Yeah, Joe, I feel like this is exactly what Scott Parker wanted, because we can mention the Christies, the Rodaks, you know, Mitrovic, but it felt like everyone really, to a man, performed on the day, and that's really what Scott Parker wanted. And there's been big questions over Scott Parker, especially in this sticky patch, and what are the expectations? We only spoke about that last week, but we're seeing he's delivering on what he says. He said before the game, I need to see this from the players. They're clearly buying in. He saw that, because we could single out many more, couldn't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole team performed well and worked together, and it's literally the opposite to the week before against Hull, when it was hard to point out any player that didn't perform badly. So it's good that he's got a good reaction out of this side, because I think it was a big week for him, because after that Hull game, there were loads of questions, even by us, being asked of how good is he at being a manager? Like, is he not ready yet? Is he good enough to get this squad performing to where they need to be? And although it may not have been the most attractive game, I think it was a really necessary performance, the way we ground out the win. It was the same I said on the podcast the other day about the comparisons between this and when we drew with Sheffield Wednesday earlier in the season and conceded in the last minute. One of those games where you look back at the end of the season, and if you do go up, they're one of the games that you have to win, because they're a game where no one particularly stood out. It's very tight, and it's one of those where you've just got to grind out whatever you can from it.
Yeah, you have to grind out the wins. You always have to do that in the Championship anyway. Guy, how can they use this in, not as a stepping stone, but as the foundations to come back after the international break? Because we're going to be looking at those five games. But how can they use that then to really, I don't want to jinx it, because we said, didn't we, a few weeks back, what are we predicting from those five games? I think Don went for the full 15. Didn't work out like that. But the next five games, how can they use this now as that springboard?
Well, Christie coming back into the team and Rodak cementing that place is the two major positives from the Birmingham game, at least. We don't know the extent of Brian's injury. We don't know... Well, Kenny was ill, so I assume he'll be back for the QPR game in a couple of weeks. There was quite a good or large squad turnover in the summer, and I feel like that's kind of been forgotten, because we kept hold of Mitro and Kenny and players like that. You know, we have had to embed, you know, Knockhart and Cavallero and change, like, our wingers and, you know, centre midfield. But now we've had our second international break and our third international break, and we can really, like, the squad needs to come together now and kick on.
Well, we've had a WhatsApp into the studio. Remember, you can get involved in tonight's show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. I just asked Guy then how they can use it as a springboard, because they're going to need that consistency now. And this WhatsApp comes in from Tom, a Fulham supporter in West Kensington, saying, we're too inconsistent so far this year. I would like to see us going and see if we could get some more quality in on loan. For example, Adam Lallana or the Ox. I don't think the Ox is available to come to Fulham when he's scoring in the Champions League at the minute. Maybe. You never know, Adam Lallana. But, Joe, what do you make of that?
I think they're both slightly unrealistic signings, as much as I'd like to see either of them in a Fulham shirt. I do think we need strength in January. I think he's...
Where for you, Joe?
For me, mainly full-backs. I feel like we need a right-back. Although Christie coming back in the other day has...
Hey, change your mind.
I wouldn't say change my mind, but I would say that he's made it less of a priority for me now that we have three players pushing for the same position that can all do different jobs. So let's wait and see with that. We've got a couple of months. I think for me, it's left-back, especially now Brian's injured. It shows that we really need another quality player there to push him when he's fit and to replace him when he's not. And I do always think we need a backup striker, because if Mitch... we'll see what happens in the QPR game. If Mitrovic is out, as he is suspended, we've got Bobby Reid and we've got Kamara, neither of which play the same way as Mitrovic does. So I would like to see another player come in and challenge for that spot.
Yeah, I think the Mitrovic suspension is going to hurt us. I mean, obviously, he's probably the best player in the Championship. But I'll be really interested to see how we adapt to that. It's a real test of Parker, but also a test of the squad, because you know, I remember a couple of years ago when we had Ross McCormack and he kept us up for two seasons in a row, basically, but we played horrible, finished 19th and 20th, but then when he left, we playoffs the following year. So I'm not saying that we would be a better team without him, but when you don't have your star player playing, it forces everyone else to step up and you become more of a team rather than like a individual based squads. So it'd be that's what I'm hoping anyway. That's probably quite optimistic.
No, I really like how you put that, Guy. That was a really good point. This is the Fulham Fan Show and I'm delighted to say Rob Wilson is joining us next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Guy Barlow and Joe Sampson. We are just talking about, obviously, that game, Birmingham on the weekend. Fulham picking up a brilliant 3 points before the international break and a great 3 points because it was a clean sheet and it came after that sticky run of form in the Championship after we predicted such good things for that 5-game run. Well, I'm delighted to say now, Rob Wilson joins us on the line, Fulham legend. Rob, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time tonight. It's a real pleasure to have you on again. Great result for Fulham on the weekend. Hopefully they can kick on now, can't they, Rob?
Yeah, good evening, guys. Nice to join you and talk to you. Yeah, it was a very much needed win, I think. Judging by the performance, I didn't manage to go myself, but spoke to some friends who went and said, yeah, it was a battling performance, probably similar to the Middlesbrough one a few weeks ago, where we grinded out a result, really. But obviously, we've had a couple of bad performances in between or either side of that with Stoke and Hull. So, yeah, it's been a topsy-turvy watch this season, to say the least.
Yeah, so 16 games in, won 7, drawn 5, lost 4. It's pretty middling form, really. It's playoff form. I was wondering about like our reliance on Mitrovic. Do you think that could harm us down the line?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that, you know, he's a stalwart up there, and it's going to be interesting next week when he's suspended to see what sort of format how Scott goes with it. Whether he plays Reed up there or he plays someone like Kamara, who you probably don't know what he's doing, because I never know what he's doing when I watch him. So, you know what I mean? He's a little bit unpredictable. So, yeah, that's going to be... And if he did ever get an injury, then obviously we would come unstuck. But, you know, it's nice games to go into now with two Sky games coming up and Derby in between, you know. Our rivals down the road next week, and you know, one that I'd like to see if we could put one over them, and then the Derby game at home before we go to a difficult game at Swansea again on the television. So I think the international breaks come probably a good time. No time's a good time, but I suppose players that can just rest up are not managing to be away. We've probably only got a few away, which is and people like Cairney might be back from his illness after the break. So, you know, it's going into it, like, as you no doubt been discussing on your show over the last few weeks. You know, I just looked at the next 5 games now coming up, you know, and like you say, you try and pinpoint how many points you can get, because people like Leeds and West Brom are really starting to, you know, put some traction there. And then you've got some outsiders like Preston and a few others that are there. But, you know, and between now and Christmas, we really need to stamp our authority and get back into that top 2 and 3, you know, at least be challenging around 3rd, 4th to going into the Christmas period to put a bit of pressure on and see if Mr. Khan may invest in the January market if need be.
You said about the next round of games, starting with that Swansea game, we're playing quite a few teams that are above us in the table. I was wondering, do you think that we might fare better against the top teams in the division that will come at us a bit more, rather than some of the teams lower down who may just try and defend?
Yeah, I think so. I think people, I mean, as many a team have done a job on us this season, you know, Barnsley being one the first game in the season. I think Charlton did one to us at home, West Brom. You know, I think teams come and watch us. And I think Scott, the only thing he's probably not learnt in this division, and I think it took Slav quite a lot last year when he was in charge, is, you know, we need to react. I think Scott is very much of the opinion that he wants to keep the ball and possession and stats and all that. But sometimes, you know, that's not the case, where we've endured 60-70%. You know, Hull was a prime example, 75%, and we got beat 3-0. You know, I mean, he's hoping that we wear teams down in that sort of final 20-25 minutes if we've not gone one up at all. But I just think we need to have a bit more of a plan B And I feel sorry for Mitrovic sometimes when I watch games because, as you know, I'm not never been a striker, but I watch him and I think he just never knows when the ball's going to come forward to him, so he can't make any runs. And half the time, when he gets frustrated, he ends up grappling with defenders and ends up getting silly bookings or gives free kicks away. Or, you know, there's been times where his touch has let him down because he's probably not had the touch of the ball for a few times because the lads are playing sideways, backwards, and, you know, not really looking for that forward pass, you know, that where we should be doing. I think that's where Scott needs to implement to the lads that we need to mix it up a bit better than we have been doing this season.
And in a way, we've got not one but two derbies coming up, really, because obviously we have that long-running kind of feud with Derby going back to your time with Fulham. From an individual point of view, but also from a team point of view, is there any different preparation for a Derby match, particularly like a local one?
Yeah, I mean, I think our fans, and not so much the players now, because I think it's slightly different with the nationality that we have within the squad, but I think I'm sure our supporters will be looking forward to the QPR game next Friday, you know, and probably the Brentford one that comes up next month as well. So, you know, they're two games, you know, from a supporter's point of view. But, you know, the teams, you know, to some of our players, it probably means not a lot to like it did in the old days. But I just think, you know, I just think we need to go into them Sky games and really stamp our authority. You know, Swansea will be difficult. I mean, especially at home next week, QPR, we really need to win that game. If we can go in then to the Derby game, you know, and beat them, we go to Swansea, you know, with two wins, if it happens, you know, to go and try and do a job on them, because, you know, they've grinded out many a result. And I think, you know, he's done a good job there. So, you know, I think they're the three games in a week that's going to be pivotal to where we sit at Christmas, I think.
Do you still hold any, like, not like resentment, but, you know, like towards Derby because of what happens?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think someone's just put something on Twitter this afternoon, a young kid that made a comment about that, you know, if that game had been now, it would have been, you know, we'd have got the points, etc., and gone up. And I think a few people have commented, you know, if you not watched footage of YouTube or whatever. Listen, you know, it was nice to beat them in the playoff semis 2 years ago when Sky did a little bit on me when I was watching when Dennis scored that goal. Yeah, it's always nice to get your own back on someone that, you know, is a club going back 30-odd years that have probably, you know, dented my aspirations to get to the first division at Fulham in that 82-83 season. But, you know, I don't take it too nasty as such. I'll be more happy just to get the 3 points for the lads, for Scott and Tom and the rest of the team, to just, you know, keep that momentum going if we get the right results against QPR and Derby, that, you know, to take us into the next Sky game of Swansea. So, I think one game at a time. Let's concentrate on QPR on Friday week and, you know, make sure we turn them over and go into that Derby game to give ourselves an opportunity to stamp our authority on the table, because the table seems to, you know, you put three or four wins together and all of a sudden you're back in it. You know, so if you lose two or three, or you drop a few points, you go the other way. You know, so I think we don't want to be looking at that scenario at this stage.
You mentioned the QPR game. Obviously, that's the next match, and Mitrovic is suspended. I wondered who you thought should replace him up front. I've seen calls for Cavalero, Bobby Reid, and Kamara. I wondered where you stood on that.
Yeah, I don't know which way Scott will probably turn. I think Reid is probably the favourite. I don't think Kamara's, you know, I don't think he's the finished article, and I don't think he's reliable enough to play that central figure the way we like to play. Because, you know, I mean, with his back to play and trying to play balls into him, I don't think it's his strength. I think Reid's obviously had, you know, a history of playing up there for Bristol City at some point many years ago. I think he'd probably be the favourite to start there. Cavalera, Knockout, you know, I mean, they need to come to the table, because for me, I don't think they've done it regular enough this season to definitely Knockout. I mean, Cavalero's been in and out as the season's gone on, but I don't think knockouts cut the mustard to me, if I'm honest. I think we need more out of him. So I'm hoping that at some point his season's going to take a turn for the better for Fulham in general. But I would have thought Reid would be favourite to start that central role. You know, Scott might just tinker with the system a bit. I don't know whether we'll play a 4-3-3 that game or whether it'll be, you know, 4-3-2-1 or whatever. I mean, but, you know, giving the wide men the licence to come in off the line and join in and make it a floating free, you know, whoever's going to find themselves in that central pivotal position. But I'm sure after the international break and going into next week, Scott will be working on some kind of plan to really, decide which way we're going to go without Mitro for one game. You know?
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one. That game, obviously, as you mentioned there, Rob, it's the Friday night game to QPR. Massive game, the first one back from the international break. But, Rob, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Really appreciate you coming on. Always a pleasure to have you. Rob Wilson, Fulham legend there. Which way will Scott Parker go? Very, very interesting. We're going to be talking next about the next five games. We've done it a few weeks back, and we're going to be doing, of course, your favourites, the listener questions.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, Guy Barlow and Joe Sampson. And you can play a part in the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. We've been talking about the brilliant victory, beating Birmingham 1-0 on the weekend before going into that international break. We just heard from Rob Wilson there, Fulham legend, about what he makes of the team this season still to come. We've done your fans' favourite free word reviews. We're going to be doing the listener questions when we answer your questions. I told you, you're a big part of this show. But now, though, we've had a WhatsApp into the studio, and it is, Guy, Joe, too often this season, when we've said we should have won games like Cardiff, Sheffield Wednesday, Charlton, Middlesbrough, we haven't. Not good enough. We need to win games like that.
Yeah, I agreed. Like, I feel like those games like Barnsley and Stoke, they're really going to come back to haunt us later on in the season. Particularly that Barnsley one. That Barnsley one's so annoying. Yes, it's first game of the season. They were like up for it, whatever. But they're rubbish. They've sacked the manager now. They've got Scorley Woodger up front, so I guess, you know, there's not much we can do about him. But apart from that, that was a really disappointing result.
Yeah, all those ones mentioned there, I think, were actually the draws we had, and they were all really frustrating. The one that really got to me was the Charlton game, because we worked so hard at half time to change a shape and come back into it, and then we equalised and they scored straight away again. And it's one of those where the season we went up, the reason we didn't get automatic promotion, other than starting to play well quite late on, was the games that we drew during that run. The Brentford one sticks out with the last-minute equaliser, and I don't know, that Sheffield Wednesday one, it's not the same thing at all, and it's very early in the season, but it's one of those where game management for, 94th minute? Just two more minutes.
No, you as well. Yeah. That's the most depressing part about it.
Yeah.
One of the worst players in the Championship.
Yeah.
At the back post, that is woeful.
But one of the worst keepers in the Championship got you 3 points on the weekend,
guys. Swings and roundabouts.
Swings
Come
and
on.
Roundabouts. Well, Joe obviously said these are the games you look back at the end of the year when you've picked up a point or none and you needed the points there. Those are the ones that make the difference. Well, it is time for the listener questions, the Fulhamish pod. They always do their due diligence. They send out asking for questions, and here they are. The first one from David Manning. Guy and Joe, time to bring back the hugely effective Steph Joe false nine versus QPR.
Oh no.
I think this is a bit of a joke question. Okay, shall we say. But it's in reference to an infamous away performance at Sunderland. When we gave them their only home win of 2017, when Steph Joe played a false nine and we lost 1-0. That was absolutely woeful. That was proper low point that. And then we won.
That was this after that 23 game unbeaten run straight after.
After that match, there was that thing where they all locked themselves in the dressing room and was like, right, we're going to sort this out here and now. But yeah, no thank you to a Steph Joe false nine.
Very politely declined, guy. The next question from Ridiculous Reed. Which striker should we start with Mitro missing?
I think Bobby Reed, personally.
But Joe, you're a massive Stansfield fan, aren't you?
Now, I am pushing that boat out quite far, actually. Yes, Jay Stansfield is going to be an incredible player. I know that because of my intensive reading of every goal he scores for the under-18s.
I saw there was a tweet about one of his goals the other day. Look like a very tidy little finish, you know.
It was from Joe's burner account.
I do keep a bit of footage of old Jay. Yeah,
in your
that's another show.
Extensive research, no, because you I know you're saying you don't know that much, but you know more than me. What's he like? Is he a pacey striker? Is he like hold the ball up like?
He just seems like he's sort of got it all from what I've seen so far. He had great footwork. The goal that I'm thinking of is a goal against Norwich. I think he got about four. The Fulham Twitter account actually posted a video of it after he scored it, and he flicked it over the defender. Great composure. He seems like very confident for his age and one of those players where when they get a chance, they do bury it. Obviously, he's still playing at a very young age group.
What's he playing, 23s?
I think it's 18. Oh,
wow.
I've seen a lot of people, obviously me included, sort of half joking, saying, oh, call him up to the first team. I would really like to see what he's like in the under-23s, because that's a test against older players, stronger players, better defences. It'd be great to see if maybe he could not be a Stephen Humphreys Mark II.
Disappointing.
And be one of those players that can push on and eventually be a first team striker one day.
Yeah. The other one I know is Tammy Abraham's brother, Timmy.
Yes.
He's maybe not pushing on the door as much, would you say?
I haven't seen as much about him, to be honest. Do you know who I expected to push on more was the guy we've signed from Chelsea, who is scoring for the under-23s, Martel Taylor-Crossdale.
Oh, yes.
But when we signed him initially, I thought he was going to be a player that we were going to have on the bench. I thought we brought him in. I didn't realise it was going to be for the under-23s. But yeah, he's someone that I thought he came at the very end of the cup game against Southampton, and hopefully when we get an FA Cup game start of January, a few of these players, maybe Stansfield, maybe Timmy Abraham, maybe Taylor-Crossdale.
The only other fantastic academy player name wise is Santos Close, which is, you know, oh man, get him in for Christmas.
Yeah, it's relevant this time of year. Yeah.
A new fan favourite for you, guy.
Yeah, definitely. Apparently he's actually good as well, so attacking player. There you go.
Even better. Next question coming from Michael B. After a promising return, does Christie start against QPR?
Yeah, I think so.
You touched on it earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, he's played himself into the team. Obviously, it's going to be a bit different because he's playing in a home game. So I hope that we're supportive of him, you know, because obviously not many people will have seen how effective he was against Birmingham, because obviously it was an away game. But yeah, hopefully he comes back in, gets the support he deserves and needs, and he can push on for Fulham. Because, you know, I, to be honest, I thought his career was over at Fulham. I thought he was gone.
Wow, it feels like it's been that much of a turnaround, doesn't it, guy?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I thought it was over, but then I was also, you know, not sad to see the back of him, to be honest. You know, it sounds harsh, but I felt like it was just time for him.
Well, the performances weren't there.
Yeah,
so,
like,
yeah.
Just to say,
it wasn't personal. Yeah,
thanks, but sorry, it hasn't worked out. See you later. But I'm delighted if he comes back in and does bits.
All right, does bits. Well, he's doing bits at the minute. Can he continue that in the London derby against QPR on Friday? Next week's show, we're going to be doing a deeper dive on that game. This next question from Ibs, saying...
Ibs, big Ibs.
Big him up, big him up.
Where's Dom?
Call up. Dom's not here. What on earth does Onuma offer us? You know, he's happily losing the ball in the middle and allowing opponents back in. Absolutely woeful. So not mincing his words there, Joe.
I think woeful is harsh. That being said, and this does also sound quite harsh, when I see him being subbed on, or I see that he's in the starting 11 in terms of Middlesbrough, even though I thought he should deserve a chance and I'm sure that he will get game time, I do feel a little bit more negatively about the game when I see him coming on, because I just sort of think, okay, we're 1-0 up at Birmingham, as an example, and he comes on for Cavalero, I believe. And I understand taking Cavalero off and bringing on another midfielder, but why are you bringing on Onuma? Because he's not a defensive midfielder. so far, he hasn't seemed like a very good passer of the ball, and he hasn't seemed like a brilliant option going forward. So I understand what Ibs is saying, that he's not the best option. But I also understand why Parker's trying to bring him into it, because obviously it's a weird situation with the swap deal with Sessegnon, a player that's coming the other way, when we all know that it wasn't us trying to get on him, obviously. It was Spurs trying to get Sessegnon, and Onuma came to sweeten that deal. And I'm sure he's a good player, but it's one of those where I think you've got to think of the team more, and I don't think that Onuma is the player that we need in most of the games when he's being brought on.
Yeah, I think, but they were separate deals, weren't they? Like, they were obviously linked because, like, we were doing business at the same time, but they were announced separately.
I think it's the fact that it seemed like a sort of freebie, and then the Sessegnon deal was separate. It makes it a bit odd.
The Onuma debate seems to, it's a big one, Guy.
Yeah, Ibs is a.
I mean. Questions. I've gone into a very long thread here.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. 14 replies in it.
Yeah,
I'm still getting notifications for it now.
Yeah, I mean, I was searching for the next question, but the Onuma debate rages on, guys.
I mean, I guess I think we just need to give him a start, basically, because he got that start at Middlesbrough, then Rodo got sent off, and he was
so unlucky,
and he was the one sacrificed, which is always really funny.
Yeah.
So. Just give him a start. I mean, he's played the Championship a lot before. Who he played for? Villa and
Wednesday. Think as well, yeah.
Obviously, like, Spurs.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think Spurs fans were happy to see the back of him. Sadly, which was never a good sign.
This is one of the things that was in the thread. It's not necessarily a question. Talking of where he's been before and saying that where he was before, he fouled. So we're already prejudging, and it's such a small sample size from what we've seen of him in a Fulham shirt, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, and also to be fair, when. I know this was also partly because he'd just come in and he's a new player, and obviously the manager wants to big him up. But Parker said on deadline day when we brought in Onuma, Reed, he said that Onuma was the player that he wanted in this window. And that's because he was with him when he was a youth coach at Spurs. So he's obviously seen that there's talent there, and there is talent there. And when he came on against Luton and we were just seeing out the game, I actually thought he did a really good job. He's really strong, he's really big. And he is good on the ball, but we didn't see that on Saturday, and we haven't seen that enough yet. I do think that there will be a place for him, but in the current system we play, I don't see it.
I think, I don't want to do Fulham a disservice here, but, you know, we are playing in the Championship, and he has come from one of the best clubs in the world, an elite academy.
I was just going to say it, yeah. You know, make no bones about it.
And he should be good enough for Fulham, where we are right now.
It's a really good point.
We need to give him that chance to be, because, you know, he's no mug. It's not like we signed him from a non-league team. We signed him from Spurs. And if he was good enough to stay in their academy and on their books for so long, he's clearly got something about him. Like, give him a chance.
It's a really good point by Guy there. Well, those were your listener questions for the Fulhamish team tonight. We're going to look at those next five games and do a little bit of the January rumours right here on the Fulham Fan Show.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with a Fulhamish podcast, Guy Barlow and Joe Sampson. We were just talking all about Birmingham game. Rob Wilson was on the phone. We'd done your listener questions. Got a little debate started talking about Onuma and everything else Fulham connected. Well, now, though, we're going to be looking at the next set of games. Normally, last time, we looked at the five games coming up. It didn't pan out that way, so I'm going to reduce it, Guy. We're going to look at the next three games, because there's three games left in November now, and they come in, obviously, quick succession. Obviously, we're in a national break now, but once we start back against QPR that Friday night, it's three games in a week, and it is QPR at home, Derby at home, Swansea away. Now, to end November, it's not the easiest run. Three games is three tough, tricky ties, would you say, Guy?
Derby aren't up so much.
1-0 Derby.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course. And the QPR have been on a slide, haven't they?
They have. So a mini slump.
But then, you know, I love one of my favourite cliches. Where does form go for a derby?
Out the window.
Out the window.
Love it.
It's gone.
It's brilliant. It's gone. Out the window.
Tear it up. Tear it up as well. Tear it up. Tear up the form book and chuck it out the window.
You know why they say? Because a London derby is a leveller. No such thing as form, Guy.
Yeah, that's another yeah. one. Can we do as many cliches as possible? Form at the window.
I don't know. Just talk about derby atmosphere. Oh, you know, oh. gotta love it.
They get the clappers out for that one, probably.
It's their cup final. Yeah,
yeah. You're just a bus stop in Hounslow.
Yes.
No, but they are. Listen. Big games, and obviously you want to build on the foundations. Maybe we won't do a points tally this time. Derby, you're right, Guy, because they've been very, very strong at home. Terrible away this season. Obviously, everyone's on an international break. That could change. We never know the other results. That's why we predicted those last five. Very wrong. Well, in Dom's case, 15 points. Certainly didn't work out like that. But you've got to be looking at QPR at home, Derby at home. Swansea's a tough game away, obviously. And it's another Friday night game. What is it, Joe, with Fulham and Friday night?
Huge club.
Yeah, must be. Just Sky.
Did I say huge club?
I said huge club.
Oh, I thought you were taking a mick out of me. I said huge game.
Sky Sports League. Has become Sky Sports Fulham.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you.
There we go. Well, yeah, two Friday nights in a row. The thing is with these games, I think Dom said it. I mean, obviously, hasn't turned out
Dom
as he
said
wanted
it.
For the last games. If you look at these games in isolation,
that's another one.
Seven
I like.
Points. 7 points. Yeah,
Let's look at the games in isolation. I love that.
Oh,
yeah.
Talk about that. There's this fantastic Fulham account on Twitter. You know, MJG1966.
Yeah.
I think his name's Mike. And he does this thing where he like totals up the season and works
brilliant
out
brilliant shout out for him
and works out how many points per game we
where
need
where you should be
where you should
like
be
XG and stuff.
No, not XG.
Okay.
Just like
points based on previous seasons,
yes,
for playoffs and how much we need of next.
Why don't
few games.
We get? Why have we not got him on for a section?
I don't know. He, why not? We get him on. He's great. Yeah. But
does he do it for every team or he's a Fulham fan?
Fulham fan.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Definitely get him on.
Does it after every game? Works out where we were in our last promotion season compared to now and blah, 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 blah. But talking about the point I was trying to make about the games in isolation is that what he does is great. I used to love it, but now I don't. You know?
We won't get him on.
No, it scares me. I want to take each game as it comes.
You know why? Because you want to look at them in isolation. Because you can't look in front. You know why, Guy? Because we don't know the form and that goes out the window.
Yes.
It goes out the window.
It's gone.
It's a leveler.
Yeah.
Joe's just thinking, I don't know why I said yes tonight. I really don't know why I said yes tonight.
I think my train home soon anyway.
Yeah. And we know you don't like trains, Joe. Look, we're going to be doing a bigger look, obviously, the QPR game next week, that Friday night game. Huge club, Friday night game, Sky Sports Fulham. But let's look, because you are just outside those playoffs and you never can go on points tallies, Joe, but you need a little run here, don't you, you know, to just keep up with the pace, because you don't want to keep going back to that indifferent form.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to the MJG, but I think his name is Mike. I apologise. I don't know him in person. I do find it really interesting. What he always puts up is how far off the playoffs and the automatic place we are. And then I look at the previous table that he puts up as well from last season. And I look at Sheffield United and Norwich. And this was about the time last season that they started to kick on, judging from his tweets. Norwich went on a crazy run at this time of the year, and Sheffield United.
You always
sort
get
of
one team that do, don't you?
Yeah, and then they couldn't really be stopped after that. They ended up finishing in first. Sheffield United sort of was starting to pick up pace now, but they started in the new year. Mm. This run of fixtures now, when we've got teams above us, it's not like
that's what I mean. It's the teams around you. You don't want to fall away to them.
And also, when we're winning games at the moment, other teams around us are also winning, so we're not making ground up. So we have to beat them to progress. Mm. And I do think that, again, in isolation, these three games next, the two home games in particular, are games that if you're gonna go up, they are must wins.
Yeah, they are must wins. Look, you can't. These are the games that, you know, 2 points outside from playoffs, nothing obviously at the minute. But you know, you lose to QPR, you lose to Swansea, then the gap is just that little bit bigger, isn't it, Guy?
Yeah. But there's still such long. There's 30 games left, which is like that's so long to go. And if you think about it, oh, well...
Yeah, but we're already 16 games in.
Yeah, but there's still... But 30 games left. I'm just going to say
no,
it back
I
to you.
Know, but it's just, I'm trying to... I agree, and I'm with you on that, but I'm just saying it's how quickly it goes. Already we're at 16 games. I remember before the season, we're talking about the squad on paper and Scott Parker's first year, and now we're near the Christmas busy fixture period.
Yeah. I think that whilst it is useful having, like, these we need to win, say, 22 out of the last 30 games to guarantee whatever, automatics. Mm. Whilst it might be good to know that in the back of your mind, you do just got to focus on the teams around you as well. Like, say we were 10th, but 2 points off the playoffs. That's a lot of difference between 7th, because when you're 10th, there are three teams ahead of you, you know? And it's about having that gap, the not as many gap in places as well it is points, because you've got to base your own form on what everyone else is around you doing, and you've got to match people, you know? And if it turns out that the playoffs this year is like a historically low kind of points tally to get into it, that's fine, as long as we're in there. And it's the same with automatics. If it's historically low, you've got to like work out where you are at the end of the year. And I know we're talking about 2 points for the playoffs now. I wouldn't even be looking at the table right now. I'm not going to look until, you know, halfway through.
Because why?
Because we haven't played everyone yet. And
okay.
not everyone has played everyone, and we've had quite like a easy run in the past 5 games, which we haven't taken making the most of. So I'm going to wait to hold judgment on where we should be at X point in the season,
and where you should be at, and of the team. You feel like you can't even maybe also judge the team yet as well.
Definitely. I think after the but. Having said that, now is the time, you know. International break, the third one. Now is the time. We're going to start
this year.
Yeah. But I'm looking at you like you don't like international football.
I do when it's a tournament. I don't when it interrupts the club season, no.
The club season is interrupting international football.
Yeah, as Dom said, the domestic break is over.
But yeah, after the international break, when you really need to push on, the game I'm looking at, this is way in the future, is Leeds at home on the 21st of December, so just before Christmas. I want to be in touching distance of them, like as in 3
around
points behind.
Game. 3 points behind.
I want to be like at a point where if we win that game, we can go level or above them or something like that. Ideally, that's really where I want to be.
Is Leeds the marker for you then, for you feel in this championship season?
Them and West Brom, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all, what you're saying about looking at the table after we played everyone. The only thing that worries me so far is I look at some of the other teams that are above us, and I feel like we've had a much easier start in terms of fixtures on paper to them. I think of the teams above us, we played West Brom, we played Charlton, Sheffield Wednesday,
Forest.
Who are just below us, Forest, and they beat us. And that's the only thing that worries me, is that... that's why I'm looking at this next run of fixtures just before Christmas, ending with that Leeds game, as you say, as a real test of where we are compared to these other teams. Because, I mean, we have to be beating them. Obviously, it's unrealistic to say we'll win every game, but the wins against these teams are almost more valuable because we are, obviously, it's pretty self-explanatory, we're taking points directly off them. Mm. At the moment, when we win against Birmingham, Bristol City win the next day against Cardiff, and even though we've made up some ground on some teams above us, we haven't made up enough ground to feel like we've made significant progress, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, either way, Guy saying he's not ready to judge the team or the season yet. Just wait that little bit further. Joe saying we need to be winning these games. We need to be, because of the fixtures have been easy on us and not so tough for the other ones. A crucial period we go into now. It's QPR next Friday, and on next week's show, we will be all over that game and the rest of the games in November. But you can catch the Fulham Fan Show every Wednesday, 9 to 10, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.